What's so great about? What's so great about?
Great questions and gets great answers. My name, it's Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, Terry, very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Yeah.
Great
back,
to hear it.
Back.
Are you back? How's your health?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I'm good enough to go back to work, put it that way.
Hey, great.
Yeah, that's what we're aiming for. I'm allowed back in shops. That's something else as well.
That's good. Well, you're in a better shape this week than last week anyway.
Yes.
You look in better shape, if you don't mind me saying.
I do mind you saying.
Son of a bitch. Well, it's out there now.
Yeah. Unbelievable. 48 seconds, that was. First insult.
First of many. Anyway.
Shoot you, you baldy prick.
I know. It's very apparent now that the hat's off this week. Jesus, yeah.
Bald well, man. Well, look, Joni ripped the band-aid off.
Yeah, she said it. You can't say it. That's a minute eight now.
We're family, Andy.
It's 1-1 now.
We're such old friends.
We're like this all the time. Yeah. Any news this week, Terry?
Not really. It's a quick turnaround. You know, Sunday was the last record, and then today's Thursday. So,
true that, actually, yeah.
Not a lot in my personal life has happened in between. I suppose I could talk about stuff I didn't get to talk about last week. I've been trying to cram in some movies before the end of the year, and I didn't get to talk about a few of them. So maybe I'll tell you what I watched. I watched a movie called The Card Counter. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
No. No, I have not.
Starring my man Willem Dafoe.
Of course.
And my other man, Oscar Isaac. It's about an ex-Marine or something.
Oh, this is made for you in a lab, this movie.
Yeah, like he's an ex... I think he worked at Guantanamo or one of those fucking prisons where they basically tortured people during the Iraq War. And now, I think he went to prison for it. He went to military prison because he was, you know... found to be guilty of torture, and now he's out in the world and he spends his days going to casinos, like playing cards, winning enough money to kind of keep his mind occupied is the big thing.
Interesting.
Very interesting. It's by
did it live up to your expectations?
I think I gave it four and a half on Letterboxd. Willem Dafoe is barely in it. I could have used more Dafoe, but Oscar Isaac is, you know, the main guy in it. So
whenever you say Oscar Isaac, I can't picture him.
Ex Machina.
That's not going to do it for me.
Star Wars.
That was a very forgettable movie for me. Now,
shut up. You liked it.
I didn't like it.
Did
I say I liked it?
Yeah, you thought it was good. It's a fucking good movie, man.
I didn't love it. I don't get what why it's elevated above other movies.
But like,
maybe I need to watch it again.
It's really good.
Ooh,
modern
he's
sci-fi.
A handsome man.
He fucking is.
Jeez.
And it's are you looking at the picture with the silver streak in his hair?
One of many. I'm taking my pick here. A beard.
Oh, and he has the beard. He's Llewyn Davis, Andy.
Ah, I still haven't seen that.
Well, maybe down the line, huh?
Jesus, this must be infuriating.
Yeah, no. Maybe down the line.
Maybe on the line, huh, pal?
Yeah.
No, Faye, I'm pissed.
Every week with this guy.
Very good. Four
or four and a half. It's really good. I really enjoyed it.
Where would I find it, Terry?
You'll find it online.
Yeah.
And leave it there. Don't ask questions. You don't want the answers.
No, I want the answer.
Hey, remember we were talking about on our text thread, me, you, and Andy Ryan, mm-hmm. we were talking about these movies on T.G. Carr.
Oh, yeah.
The Small Axe series. It was a series of movies about West Indian people in London.
Oh, yes, yes.
You don't remember, do you?
I do.
I watched one of those ones, and it was called Lover's Rock. Now, this movie, Andy, this little movie, because you would love it. It's like 70 minutes long.
Oof.
It's barely, you know.
Holy shit.
And
I'm in already.
The premise of it is so fucking simple and perfect. I was like, oh, just take me there. It's like set in like the early 70s, and it follows like a day of, it's like, it reminded me of like one of the buildings you used to live in Clontarf, you know, one of those kind of houses. Oh, yeah. Where there's apartments in it and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But it looks like, it's like a townhouse or something.
Yeah.
And it kind of starts off with just people like moving furniture around and clearing out the house. And what they're doing is they're setting up like a disco or a house party that like you have to pay into later on in the evening, right?
Right.
So there's parts where it's like three lads, they're setting up like a DJ stand, like smoking a joint and like putting on like their reggae music and kind of getting the vibe going. You see like people in the kitchen preparing a bunch of like dishes that they're going to sell to the party goers later on.
Hmm.
And essentially it gets to the nighttime where it's, you know, all these people that like, this is their big Saturday night out. It's like, you know, it's like a town hall disco or something, but it's just for this like safe space of West Indian community. And like, there was something like really reminded me of like EP or something like that, or like it reminded me of like even one of your old house parties in Drumcondra or something like that, where it was like a bunch of people like crammed into this like space.
Yeah,
there's music playing, like your man puts on, he's like the latest hit, he puts on like Kung Fu Fighting and everybody's like, oh no, like they're going crazy. And like there's this whole song that keeps playing throughout it called Silly Games.
Right.
I'd never heard it before, but there's a really powerful bit in it where it's like everybody's dancing to it and then the DJ kind of drops out the music and the whole party is just singing that song. And like the camera's just like floating around of all these different characters that you get introduced to.
Yeah.
But like it just hearing this chorus of them.
This is a series, isn't it? This whole thing.
The whole thing is like it's five movies. It's a series of five movies, but like it's not interconnected in any way.
Right.
Like, but it was made, I think he made it for Amazon in the US and they got like distribution on BBC over here, over this side of the world, and TG Carr over here. But I was like, it's such like, again, like 68-70 minutes of, and it's just like this kind of little, it's not a short film, it's a feature, but it was just like I was so immersed so quickly into this culture that like I have like no connection to. But even when, like the three lads are like just like smoking like a big fat joint, I'm like, oh, that, I want to be at that party. Like, there we go.
Next.
Yeah. All right, that's just
what's going on here.
Yeah,
that doesn't smell like cigarettes.
trying to be you know, subtle enough that they'll offer you the joint, but not
hang around, but not be like, hey, Jason, TG Carr are really killing it, aren't they? Like,
they were the first ones that had like The Wire and stuff. Like,
yeah, because like, I remember back in the day, like TG Carr, unless this was all just me projecting, but like it seemed like a bit of a like a joke channel, like, you know, like, oh, you'll be forced to watch TG Carr or something because we hated doing Irish. Was it okay? Yeah, I wasn't sure because they're so cool now.
It was just Irish, like programming. So it was like, you're gonna have to watch Ross na Rún. I'm like, I don't want to fucking watch Ross na Rún, like whatever.
Yeah.
They never had at the beginning anyway. They never had US imports. Like, they had the latest series. That's how I watched the latest series of Fargo, because it was on TG Carr. Like,
of all things, like,
yeah.
They seem to, whoever is working there, they seem to have their finger on the pulse.
I like their programming. I do, I have to say. And, like, they have movies and stuff like that on it as well. The old player, but, like, I watched it with Faye, like, when Bonnie was down for a nap, I think it was last weekend. And I was like, oof. Like, we were, like, playing the soundtrack like in the house. Actually, I had it blaring, and she was like, oh, like all that like reggae music that is like it's not something you'd have on all the time, but it really got us in the humor of it, like, yeah, you know. And like,
reggae can be great when you're in the mood for it as well.
Definitely,
I don't know anything about it at all, but like sometimes if I'm doing jiu-jitsu, or if I was doing jiu-jitsu up in Dublin, the instructor there is mad into reggae and just playing it, I'm like, geez, these songs are all fucking deadly. Like, I wouldn't have a clue where to even look for them. Like,
that's the thing. Like, I
knew Bob Marley or who? Like, I like
Peter Tosh, maybe.
That's
like,
as far as I get. Yeah,
and like I didn't know, apart from Kung Fu Fighting, didn't know any of the song, any of the names of the song. And the whole thing with Kung Fu Fighting is, it's like, this is the big hit at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but like,
jeez, I forgot as well about those house parties that in Drumcondra.
Class, but like, it was that kind of feeling of like
everyone is just like there. It's if memory serves, there must have been about like 40 people at this party. I mean, one of the very few times I entertained at all.
Yeah, and like, you know, you'd have people in your living room was a big area, like the bedroom, like even the hallway to the bathroom and stuff like that. Like, yeah, you'd meet people in the hallway to the bathroom, you'd strike up a conversation. Like,
jeez,
I didn't realize how much I'm fucking missing that.
I know.
Now, like, you know?
House parties when I was growing up was always like the number one thing to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's house parties number one, then like even going out into town or hanging out wherever, Temple Bar or wherever we used to hang out back then. But like, house parties was always like, if someone's got a house party on Friday night, it's like, fucking yes.
And yeah, like, I guess they become fewer and fewer as you get older, which
it'd be a different thing now, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like,
it'd be a dinner party now.
No, but I always think, like, well, maybe my parents were different. Like, when I was a kid, when they were in their 40s, and maybe it'll come back around when our kids are like 8 or whatever,
yeah.
That it's like, they always had just people over to the house. And it was just they're boozing, you know. It's like their version of a house party, but the kids are in the front room until a certain time.
I'd love to hang out with your parents for a night.
Nah. Not now. Maybe when they're in their 40s,
in their pump.
Yeah. No, I mean, I enjoy going for pints at my dad and stuff. They're good pints, but like, I don't know. If I could last a whole like
whole night
with
the three of you,
yeah, you know what I mean, like,
yeah.
How would I say it without being cruel? Like, I get annoyed very easily.
The older I get, the more, like, do you remember, like, when you're a kid? I remember, like, when I was a kid, and like, I'd hear like my dad would never talk down to my granddad or anything, but he'd kind of like, my dad would be telling me granddad what's going on or what's happening, and I'd be thinking, sure, like, wow, he's his dad and he's telling him, you know. It's like, I wonder when I'm going to grow up to that stage where, like,
dad,
you know. Yeah. And then I feel like I'm at the age where that transition's starting to happen now, you know what I mean, where it's like, no, let me explain to you what's happening here or what's going on.
I don't know what it is with my mom. It's like, as she's gotten older, she, like, I'll be having a conversation with my dad, she'll be in the kitchen, she's like, what's that? I'm like, nothing. Like, she's like, who are you talking about? I'm like, doesn't matter. Like, we're having the conversation. Like,
it would take me 2 minutes to get you up to speed.
Yeah, exactly. But it's constant with her, like, with that kind.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I love them, really, though. They're great. Like,
you know what? They're all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
I couldn't be at a house party with them. Put it that way.
Well, yeah. I don't think anybody would want that.
Couldn't be me.
You'd be family, Terry.
Yeah. You know what you're doing? You're killing in the Ben and Jerry. Jerry. Ah. I blew it.
Bottled it.
Yeah.
Well.
What about you? Anything strange? Anything startling? You've been watching?
I was at the hospital today.
Oh.
It was an appointment for the...
Oh, okay. Right, yeah.
We're down in Wexford General. And I have to say, they're lovely down there.
There's nothing in Wicklow, isn't there? Like, outside of Dublin, the closest is Wexford.
I was looking because I was like, okay, I was thinking either Rotunda or Wexford, and Rotunda's like an hour and a half away, and you have to get through Dublin, and Wexford General's like basically all motorway. But it was just a really nice, like the appointment was grand, and they were just confirming everything was good and all that, so that was nice. It was a really nice drive down because it was very foggy today.
Ooh.
And like frosty, and I had like the lo-fi tunes on, and we were just, it was a real chill, like, you know, it was like 8 o'clock in the morning on a weekday, just we're off to this, and like, and like the road through like that new motorway, it's just all just mountains and fields and all that sort of stuff.
It's really nice, like, actually.
So it's really nice. So it was just a lovely little morning of like going, confirming it's all good, a lovely drive back. So it was nice.
It's like you're mitching off school or something.
I know.
Like, you know?
And I still get this feeling, like, I was like, I was, because I didn't tell her because I was going back to work, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm actually going back to work after. And she's like, I did not know that, but that's fine.
Why did you take the day?
I probably should have done in the end, but I kind of thought, oh, it's an early appointment, like, I have time to get back.
Here's the agony aunt for you.
Yeah. Take it off.
Yeah.
But, I completely lost my train of thought there.
Sorry.
Okay.
I screwed you.
No, that's okay.
I gave you the old screwed you.
But yeah, no, what I was saying was, like, I always have this fear of, like, oh, I have to get back to work. I have to get back to work.
Right, tell me about it.
And, like, you know, so I'm there, we're on our way back, and it's like, okay, we'll go to the post office to save our walking up. Like, yeah, no problem. It's like, can we just stop into the shop here on the way back? Like, no problem.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, okay, see ya. And then I was like, I've no petrol. I have to stop in the petrol station now. And like, even though, like, I didn't give a time when I was going to be back. So everyone said, like, I'm just going to be back whenever I'm back.
Yeah.
And I like ran in, like, okay, yeah, I'm back. And they were like, oh, how was it? And
everyone's all nice. Mr. Burns.
Yeah. But I have to stop that, because I'm always like, whenever I'm going anywhere, I'm like, oh, I gotta go. I'm, you know,
like,
just this arbitrary time that I've picked on my head that I thought I'd be back by. If it's past that, I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know if it's a people pleasing thing or whatever, that it's like, you know, it's like, I said I was gonna do this. And
yeah,
I have to and do it.
And know? It's a real, like, you don't want to be the guy seen as the guy who sort of takes the mick or,
yeah,
you know, anything like that. You just want to be reliable and dependable.
This is fucking drilled into us from Centra. This is years.
That's what it is.
This is years of working in that fucking shop. Like.
Like PTSD from it.
Fucking right. Like, oh my God.
I never really thought of that.
It fucking is that. Like,
they're so, like, such sticklers, like, for that sort of shit.
You gotta make sure that they can rely on you, Andy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I'd love to be able to actually switch you off and be like, fuck that.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
You're cool. well, look, that's all I've got really since last Sunday. Can we talk about this movie that we've watched, Terry?
Yes, of course. We're continuing our What's So Great About Netflix investigation, and we have picked The Devil All the Time. I say we. I have picked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, as is wont with these Netflix ones, this was one that actually wasn't released for Oscar consideration. And so there is no BAFTA. As opposed to, you know, before.
Excuse me?
Well, there's no box office, excuse me.
Okay.
But, like, you know, the way I said, there was, like, limited release for Mank and Roma and stuff like that. They didn't do it for this. This kind of just dropped in September or whatever like that. Like, directed by Antonio Campos, and it stars Tom Holland, Robert Pattinson, Jason Clarke, you know. There's a bunch of others. Mm-hmm. The trivia or the fun facts. Here's one for you. So all the other actors, apart from Robert Pattinson, sent director Campos recordings of their voices they were working on. And basically, Robert Pattinson said he didn't tell him his voice until the day of shooting for his
that's a gamble, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not so sure how successful it was, to be honest, but Campos called him a mad genius who can do anything.
I'd be inclined to agree. I don't know about a mad genius, maybe that's
a look strange. I love him, I think he's great.
Well, I love him, yeah
I think he's great.
I'll tell you what he is. He's a draw for me. When I was getting Kerry to watch this, I said Robert Pattinson's in it, and she was in.
Right. Okay.
So I was like, okay, great, and Tom Holland, but
This screenplay was adapted from the 2011 novel The Devil All the Time from author Donald Ray Pollock, who was also the voice of the narrator in the movie.
Oh, interesting.
And it's the first time he'd ever done any narration, not even doing the voice work for his own audiobooks.
Interesting. He should.
He's pretty good. I was trying to figure out who he was.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, is this Robert Pattinson? When I hadn't seen him yet.
Chris Evans was originally cast as Deputy Lee Bodeker, but had to drop out of the film due to scheduling.
Chris Evans as in Captain America.
His Marvel co-star, Sebastian Stan, took over the role, which is quite funny.
What character is that?
So, it's Bucky. You know, the sheriff.
That's who he was. I knew I recognized him.
Oh, Andy.
I was like, who is that?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. That was gonna be played by Chris Evans.
Yeah. I mean,
what a movie that would have been.
Hey, Robert Pattinson and Sebastian Stan, aka Bucky, both wore fat suits for their roles, which kind of disappoints me. I was hoping that Pattinson had actually put on the gut, but
yeah.
Interesting. So Robert Pattinson did his one stunt himself. When he was shot in the movie, he threw himself over the pew. Typically it would normally be done by a stunt double, but he insisted on doing it himself.
I like Robert Pattinson.
Me too. Like,
I gusto. Moxie.
I'm trying to think. Is there much more? A lot of it is like, he co-starred with this person, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. The body count is 13 people die.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds about right.
You know, so that's kind of the thesis of this movie. I think everybody dies and religion is for suckers.
Pretty much.
You want to get into your thoughts?
Notes? Sure. I'll tell you what I thought of it first, and then we can maybe break it down.
Sure.
I thought it was brilliant.
Really?
I thought it was fucking deadly. It was fucking class. Both of us loved it.
I can't get a read on you at all, man.
By far, I think. I don't know about by far, because I love The Five Bloods as well. And I actually love... What was your last pick?
My last one was Roma. You didn't like that.
Oh, okay.
The last one we did was His House.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think this is right up there with the best ones that you've given me. And I tell you what, I knew nothing about the...
You!
This is one that wasn't for Oscar consideration, because it was actually bloody good. It was a brilliant, interesting movie. Now, if I had a criticism, I'd say it was a little bit too, like, let me guess, he kills him after this. You know what I mean?
There
was
a little bit of that.
It was a little bit. It was a little few too many kickouts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I thought it was fucking deadly.
Wow. Okay.
Cool. What was your thoughts on it?
I thought it was a bit uneven, to be honest. But like, I didn't hate it. There was interesting bits in it. I could tell you, it had the feeling of a novel, and I think maybe with like a better director, if somebody like Paul Thomas Anderson, they might have been able to meld all the stories together a little bit more seamlessly. Some of the cuts in this, I was like, okay,
yeah, it's now over. I'm over here,
yeah, kind of like that, like, you know, whereas say, he would be the modern day equivalent, or somebody like Robert Altman maybe in the past, they kind of do a little bit more seamlessly.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it felt like the cuts were a bit too hard.
It's like, okay, we were in plot A, now we're on plot D for a while, and now we're going to go back to plot B, and, you know, it wasn't flowy.
That's the thing, it wasn't super flowy. I didn't think it was terrible, I honestly, but I had heard somebody use the word uneven.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how I felt. But I thought you were going to hate it. So that's,
did you?
Yeah.
After watching it?
Yeah. I was like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm always curious to know, but I feel it would be too egotistical to ask, like, what do you think I think of it? But I'm always interested to actually know what your prediction. I think going forward, we should have a prediction of, like, by the end, like, thumbs up or thumbs down. What do we think the other is going to say?
Okay, yeah. There was certain bits in it where I was like feeling shit, like, you know, where like,
yeah,
where Tom Holland is like beating up those kids.
Yeah,
I'm like, fucking get them, like, you know. I literally was like sitting there gritting my teeth, being like, fucking yeah, little pricks, like.
And you know what? Like, I had a very similar thing, but even just judging by my notes, like looking at them here, so rarely do my notes be like, oh, I can't believe he's done that to this person in the movie. Not like, he's a shit actor, I'm not buying this. Like, I'm actually making notes about the characters in the movie, not about, like, that's shit, or, you know, whatever I'd normally say.
That's good. That means you're checked in.
Yeah, I was checked into this one big time. I was going to just say, can I start off? But if you want to...
No, like, I think, like, by and large, the cast is really quite good. If anything, I was a little... Because I'd heard Pattinson was kind of, like, going real big.
Yeah.
And if anything, he didn't go big enough for me. I don't know why.
He was kind of caught in a little bit of a middle ground. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like... He wasn't manic.
I kind of thought he wasn't going to be like a kind of like, you know, like a...
But
like,
I quite liked that because I thought your man, that ass-eyed fuck with the spiders on his face.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was a bit too acty.
Yeah, he was one of the weaker ones. He's English as well. You could tell.
They all are then. Pattinson and Holland and all. Yeah. They're English, aren't they?
Yeah, they're both English.
That's mad.
With that guy, you could, of the three of them, with accent wise, you could hear his accent slipping in, I think, the most.
With that guy, I had the thought, like, I'm watching an actor.
Capital, you know, A, I mean? Acting by this guy, like, you know.
But I will say, a great selection of characters, a great selection of faces in this movie.
Yeah, that's, you know what I mean? The thing. They were all... interesting looking,
very interesting faces on pretty much all the characters.
Like, I'd say, like, the most traditional looking person in it is Tom Holland.
Yeah,
like, in terms of pretty boy or whatever like that. Like,
yeah,
like Pattinson now, or Pattinson in this movie is not Robert Pattinson from Twilight.
He's not,
you know
he's
what
not
I mean?
Handsome Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, he's like red-faced and sweaty for most of his time. He's very unappealing looking, which I appreciate that he's
and
willing to
like
do that.
And it was like a subtle unappealing, because like, I know he's better looking than that. Like,
yeah.
So he's leaving me like, you know, like, why is he looking like this?
What's with this guy?
I tell you who I did like. I liked as an actor, the guy who played Tom Holland's dad. Who's he?
Pennywise himself.
He's got real star power, that guy.
Did you see it?
No. He's Pennywise, is he?
He's Pennywise. Hey, Georgie.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I tell you who...
He was great.
You know who his dad is? He's one of the Skarsgårds.
I don't know what that means.
You know the Skarsgårds.
I don't know the Skarsgårds.
One of them was in a little movie called Thor.
Okay.
Need me to... Stellan Skarsgård. He was in the Avengers.
I don't know.
He's the old Swedish guy from Thor, you know?
The Carlsberg guy?
No, that's Mads Mikkelsen. He was Doctor Strange.
I don't know.
Stellan Skarsgård. Remember, I think it was this either the second Thor.
What's his name?
Stellan Skarsgård.
Oh, yeah. So like, oh, your man, the scientist guy.
Yeah, that's what I said. So he,
say scientist?
So he's the dad.
Oh, wow. He's Swedish.
He's the dad. So then his son is Peter Skarsgård. You might know from a little movie called Garden State.
I've seen it, but I don't
Zach
know.
Zach Braff's friend in it. And then one of the other sons is Bill, which is this guy. And then the other one is Alexander Skarsgård.
Wow. Family of actors.
Yeah. And they're all pretty fucking cool. I like them a lot, I have to say.
Yeah. I really like the look of the dad in this.
He's very striking, is Pennywise. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen little clips of it and all. He does look good. My next one was that young preacher was too acty, so we got to that.
It's kind of funny how just before, like, it starts off with, like, Arvin is Tom Holland, and it starts off with his family, I guess, doesn't it? And then it kind of jumps back to the dad in the war.
Yeah. There's a bit of time jumping going on.
Yeah, because, the preacher guy, like, he comes into it when it's like your man goes back to his parents' house, go back to the mama. Yeah. She wants to set him up with Mia Wasikowska. You might know from Alice in Wonderland.
I haven't seen it.
Did you know her though? Like the preacher's wife that gets the old Scroogey through the neck. You didn't recognize her?
No, I'm not great for that.
You're terrible.
I don't know what everyone else was in. I was.
That's the funnest part, though. I'm like, oh.
Oh, it's him from that.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I do for mainstream, but you know everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm the abnormal one here. I think you're the abnormal one for knowing it.
That's not cool, man.
Well, look.
You're about to cross some fucking lines.
That's a low blow, Stan.
Okay, what's your next note? So the preacher next is one was very actory, which is true.
Yeah. Next note was kick his ass. That was when the dad was kicking the ass of those two hunters who were
poachers.
Like, how about we go see his old lady? And he did nothing. And
that was 20 minutes into the movie, and I was like, oh, is this what this is going to be? And it's like, you know, they're going to go or show up in his house in the middle of the night. And I was like, I was quite glad that it wasn't.
Yes.
But then it's like, okay, he goes and beats them up. And you're like, yeah, kick his ass. And then they go home and it's like the mom's dying of cancer pretty much straight away. I was like,
oh, that, okay.
That was very jarring because they come into the house and it looked like there was a bunch of smoke or something.
Yeah, I guess whatever was cooking was burning.
But like, again, it just wasn't. Then it was like the next scene is like, there's no way we can kill that cancer. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, we're just not messing around. Like, it's just
straight in. We've too much to get through here. That's probably why I liked it, because it was just like, boom, this has happened. Now this. On to the next thing. Now this.
Like, I don't know how much I felt when it was like, he's like, you pray for a boy, come on now, you pray for it. Like, he was kind of losing me there when he was turning into like a bit of like Sling Blade, you know, come on, boy, because he became almost too like slack jawed or so,
too one dimensional,
like almost like he's kind of slipped into a bit of a caricature, you know.
It was, I mean, this poor fucking kid as well. Jeez. So first he says, oh, we can save your mama, but you just have to ask the right way. So first he makes him feel guilty that he didn't pray right. That's why his mom's dead. Then he kills his dog as a sacrifice.
Yeah, he kills the dog before the mom dies because he thinks God will save.
He's saying, there, I've killed some, my love, whatever. Then the mad dies anyways, and then so it's just the kid and the dad. And then the dad fucking kills himself, like, that night.
Yeah, and like,
like this, oh my God, I was like, oh fuck's sake.
This poor kid, like,
that's
the most unrealistic thing about the movie, is that, like, he's as well adjusted as he is by the time he becomes Tom Holland.
Yeah, because is he well adjusted though, Terry?
Ah, but he's all right. Like, he's not like, he's not out killing cats or anything like that. Like, you know what I mean? No. Like, he seems to be angry, but like, you know, it's not like he's like, you know,
a bad guy.
He's not gonna burn down the school or something like that. Like, you know. it jumps to, you know, your woman getting stabbed in the neck, like, And like, I was so taken aback by like just the way it, like obviously because they say it's like she was never seen again. Like they say it earlier on in the film.
Yeah,
because it shows her dropping off the baby with, you know, Arvin's grandmother, and then it was like she'd never be seen again. And then it's like, I was like, oh, you know, I wonder what they're gonna do. And it was just like, she goes to like kiss him on the neck, and it's just like straight away, like, and then he's like, "The Lord loves you, resurrect, whatever." I was like, okay.
See, I quite liked that. Even though I like, I think that guy was a bit too acty, but I liked the sort of desperation when he's so deluded that he thought, he'd be given the power to resurrect her by the Lord.
When he realized
that wasn't happening, I thought like that. You know, even through all the actiness, I quite liked that scene.
See, I understand that, and what kind of undercut it for me was then, like the scene when he's with the cup, when the couple pick him up, he's just like back to normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know?
Even the
scene where he's with his brother and he's like, I'll go back and I'll tell him, the brother's like, no, like, you know, you're going to be... You'll be killed.
Sounds like, what a crazy person. Yeah. I loved how straight shooting he was.
The brother was actually really good, that guy.
He was great.
Yeah. But then he's never seen from again.
But also the way, like, after he stabs her, I'd never seen a more realistic bleeding out death.
I was wondering how the fuck they did it like that.
Because I was like, she's proper, like, she's able to still look at it and move around, but also be dying at the same... Like, it was very...
Very good acting by her.
Yeah, very difficult not to overact that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But, like, she did that perfectly.
She's good. She's, like, a good actress. I'm trying to think, like, what the fuck... was her big break? And I wonder if you would know her from, like, her biggest movie was, she played, you know, Alice in Wonderland, but like the fucking, what you call it, the Tim Burton ones. But she,
that's why I didn't see it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right too. Like,
Helena Bonham Carter got the lead in that.
She's in it, you know. But
what a guess.
No, known for, like, let me see what else. All filmography. No, September Rogue Skin. No, Alice in Wonderland, I guess, is the big one, I guess.
Which is very good.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Mia Wasikowski.
All right. Still 0-0 in this match.
Hey, come on.
Sorry.
Focus up here, huh?
You were off Googling something.
Go off Google. I'm on... assignment here. So she's dead, and then the couple who, and I will say, I'm a big fan of Jason Clarke, and like, he's not wearing a fat suit.
Interesting faces. Yeah. Like, this guy's like Marlon Brando or something. Like.
This guy, I love how he's not afraid to get chunky in his last few years. Like,
who is this guy?
Did you ever see those Planet of the Apes movies?
No.
Did you know?
No.
Oh, well, they're really good. They're fucking really good.
The new ones?
Yeah.
The ones not like the James Franco ones.
Yeah, the Franco ones.
I remember I just put it on and turned it off. I didn't.
So Franco.
The apes, the CGI was too bad.
Nah, it looks good, man. It's not. He plays, you know, like Franco is the human in the first one.
Yeah.
Jason Clarke is the human in the second one.
Okay.
I think he played John Connor in one of the new Terminator movies as well.
Jason Clarke. Wow, this guy is so interesting looking.
But he played like Ted Kennedy a couple of years ago and got like really fat for it and like looked to play older. And I was like, I really appreciate it when somebody is willing to do that.
Wow, he's got such a great face. I'm looking at all these different things. Yeah, definitely I appreciate when someone
like
does
he's
that.
He's a good fucking actor. I'm trying to think, he's in Zero Dark Thirty as well, like, which would be one of the big ones. He's very good in that one. Like,
I loved, like, so these he plays like this like married couple who pick up hitchhikers and make them take pictures with her and end up killing them, I guess.
Yeah, like
And so that's basically what happens to this guy who just stabbed his wife in the neck. Then the next scene, he's in their car, and then it's like, hey, you want to fuck my wife? And he's like, I won't do it.
He basically plays the guy from Harold and Kumar, but way more sinister.
What's your mom's his name?
Freak Show.
Freak Show.
Devil. What? Hey,
like, he can hear us whispering right now. He can hear this conversation.
No, he can't. There's too much pus in his ear. Look at it there. And he's like, I heard everything you said. Come on in, fuck my wife. Did he just say we could fuck his wife? Dude, he just said we could fuck his wife. It's like,
I forgot about that.
And then he's like,
that's basically what it is.
Yeah, it's except then he wants to join in at the end.
And your man kind of looks a bit like him. Oh, that's cruel. That's cruel. But
the guy who plays Freak Show is the guy from Wet Hot American Summer, who humps the fridge. You know, the cook.
Oh yeah, is that him?
Yeah.
No way.
Not afraid to make fun of
get
himself.
Get into it.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, my next note is Terry. Let me get my notes back up here. Yeah, great choice of faces. I said that already. Now, he's killed for not fucking his wife. Yeah, we saw that. Next note, our pats.
Yeah. Like, it's interesting that, like, they have Tom Holland and our pats, like, play off each other.
Yeah.
You know, for the two heartthrobs. They're both quite good, I have to say. Like,
yeah.
I think, like I say, I wanted a bit more from Pattinson, but I actually thought Tom Holland was quite good in this movie.
I thought he was, yeah, I thought he was excellent.
Mm.
Very believable. Like, I believed. Because he's so known as Spider-Man now.
Well, I was listening to a podcast, and they were kind of, it's a We Hate Movies, and they were kind of talking about. They did an impression of Tom Holland, and I can't get it out of my head where it's like, Mr. Stark! Hey, Mr. Stark! Like, almost like veering into Cartman territory, and I was like, yeah. I can't not hear him talk like that now. So, to hear him, or to see him be a bit more, like, brooding and a bit, like, less whiny, for lack of a better term, you know.
Yeah, it was nice
good.
Change.
It was good. Like, I'd like to see him take a few more serious roles.
Yeah, I think I thought he nailed this one. I thought he was the best thing about this movie, or he was the best one in it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, I like the girl who plays his stepsister. I think it's Eliza Scanlon is her name. She was in, I don't know if you watched Sharp Objects, did you?
You know I haven't.
You didn't like that movie, that TV show?
I haven't seen it.
It's really good. And again, okay. It's set in the South about kids going missing or whatever like that.
Right.
But she plays like Amy Adams' younger weirdo sister in it, and like she's really unsettling in it, and to see her kind of play the opposite of that in this, where she's kind of like an innocent, I thought she was really good. Like,
yeah, she was great.
I was rooting for her.
That's the thing, and I don't get that a lot for a lot of movies where I'm actually rooting for them. But yeah, so you first see Robert Pattinson, and he's like, straight away you kind of get the sense that he's like a bad guy, like your one
chicken liver,
and like, she made this food, and he's like, he makes a point of saying how much he like doesn't like
but
it.
The thing is, first of all, like he's like, what you got there, and like sticks his finger in the juices, yeah. And it's like, I'm like, oh my god, like, this guy
straight
is
away
unsettling, like, yeah. And then, like, it seemed to me that it was, I don't know, like, it seemed like that he enjoyed the chicken livers.
Yeah.
But, like, he went out of his way to be a bit of a prick.
Make a point about, like, you know, how they're not good.
I thought it was so weird that, like, everybody is just, like, waiting while he's, like, loading up his plate.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's
like they absolutely idolize this like, fairly young creature.
And they've never met him before. You know?
My next note is great music in this movie.
There is
throughout
some,
the movie,
some really good music.
Would love to actually. I may listen to the soundtrack on my way to work tomorrow.
There's a great one where it's like, "I'll be yearning, yearning, yearning," and I was like, "What the fuck do I know that from?" I knew it from another film.
Yeah,
it was used in L.A. Confidential, and it always fucking stuck with me. So when it came up in this one, I was like, "Oh yeah, good, nice. Good needle drop."
If you have subtitles, Terry, it gives you the name of the song and the artist. Such and such by such and such playing. You know, such and such continues playing.
You don't need the subtitles anymore, Andy.
But I don't need them. I kind of do need them now. With the way TV volume is these days, of course I need them.
Come on, like, I'm the one with the ticking time bomb upstairs.
I'm either not hearing the audio or I'm waking up my kid. And there's no middle ground in between those two.
Yeah, but like, if you wake up Joni, it's pretty easy process to get her back to sleep, right?
That's true, yeah.
It's not like...
Go to bed.
It's not like me. Like, I had my child, woke up at fucking 3 o'clock in the morning or something last night. Like, no getting her back to sleep, huh? How about that?
I got it all coming back around.
You see these bags? This ain't makeup.
This ain't makeup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What does go around comes around, motherfucker.
Yeah. Okay, now.
All right,
now. Keep it tight.
Come on.
Next one is... My next note is just... Getting away with murder was so easy back then. Like, there's so many murders, but like, no forensics, no cameras, no anything. Just they didn't catch you in the act and you were remote enough, you were just getting away with it.
At this point, we've had 2 murders, a suicide, a death from cancer. Is that right?
A dog being shot.
Well, we'll keep it to humans for the moment. So, 2 murders. Okay. A suicide and a death from cancer. Anybody else died at this point?
Not at this point, I think.
No. And yeah, you get the whole business with Pattinson and Lenora, Eliza Scanlon.
Yeah. Super creepy. You just knew it was coming as well. Yeah. It's like, I know a great spot where you could, it's very whatever, holy or... Like, no.
When I was watching it, I was like, you know, he's like, I gotta go do something. You okay here to pray by yourself? And then, That's pretty good Tom Holland, right?
That was actually pretty good Tom Holland.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, now that you mention it.
Yeah. Well, like, you weren't gonna give it to me.
No, because I thought you were doing Robert Pattinson there for a second.
No.
Because I thought you were giving me an impression of Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson is not...
Maybe he should have worked on that accent a bit more, huh?
I guess you could. He'd kind of talk like a little bit like this.
See, in theory, the southern accent, well, that's the easiest accent to imitate. All right, but how was that? It kind of lost it at the end.
Yeah.
But I notice what a lot of actors do when, particularly actors, British actors who play American, their voice tends to go up an octave.
Yeah.
I don't see many doing it in their normal tone when they switch accents. They seem to just take it up a notch or something like that.
I mean, I think for that character, he is kind of a dandy to a lesser extent. So like, right. It would be a bit of a lilting accent as opposed to Tom Holland, who, you know...
Tom Holland, to be fair,
we would talk like this. It's the best present I ever got. Thank you so much.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah.
Terry doing an impression of Tom Holland doing an impression of a southern man and nailing it, if I may say.
I'll tell you what, that's the clip for Instagram. Right there.
You don't tell me the clips.
That's a clip. That's a show right there.
Okay.
Yeah. But I did think, like, I had the thought of when he's gone, you know, you knew something bad was going to happen to your one with Pat. And I was like, it's an interesting thing of, like, the reason she gets taken advantage for is him wanting to live out his rage.
Yeah.
You know, take out his rage on the boys that were kind of trying to assault her. And like, you know, that's a very interesting idea, I think. Like, if he had just been able to, you know, not be as angry a person or whatever, you know, and he'd stayed with her, in theory, she'd still be alive later on. Like,
the chain of events wouldn't have happened.
Exactly. But I say, that bit where it was like, so he waited for one of them to like be in the school bus with one of the bullies to be in the school bus with a girl, and like, and he's like beating the shit out of him. I was like, fucking yeah. And then,
got him.
Yeah. And then like the two lads are in the car over, you know, in the mechanic station. That was very satisfying.
Very satisfying.
But you knew when then Robert Pattinson brings you one for a drive, like, can you feel the Lord here?
And it's like, here we go.
Yeah. But you know,
you knew it was coming. But like, she is like taken by him. Like, she's completely fooled by it and all this sort of stuff.
she wants it though as well.
Like, yeah. You know. But then the whole like thing of like
she's pregnant. Okay,
they got together. Then she's pregnant. She's already like she has to miss church and she feels terrible about it. Like she's that religious, or whatever. And then like you just see her like hang. She's well, going to hang herself.
Like, but the whole thing with like he's like he's gonna be a whore mother with a bastard child.
Yeah.
Ugh. This guy.
Like, and she says it, it's like, she's like, you don't remember that? And it's like, and you do best not to remember it either, or whatever, yeah. Or everyone will know, blah, blah, blah. So straight away, it was just like, he's like one and done. And like, he's moved on to the next, like, child, or whoever, whoever else it was.
That's the other thing as well, like, because, you know what I mean? You know, like, she, like, you forget that, like, you still kind of think, I was like, oh, it was only like 10 years ago where he was playing, like, teenagers.
Yeah.
But like, they kind of paint him as, like, young enough.
Yeah, but like he uses the line a lot, like especially while you're young or something like that. Like, he uses it a few times, like what, like 5 years younger than me.
Like, yeah, I'd say he's probably supposed to be like late 20s, but in my head I'm like, oh, he's only like 23, he's not that much older. And like, no, it is definitely like,
but I knew that was going to happen then, so she feels like she's no other option then to hang herself. But then, of course, just as she's about to hang herself, she realizes, oh, this is so silly, but she falls and hangs herself anyway.
More misery.
And, like, and poor fucking Tom Holland again.
He finds her, like.
He finds her. And so you've got, that's his mother, his father, his dog, and now his sister.
As far as he's concerned, kin. Yeah, his kin. Like they're not actually like sisters. Jesus,
how is he so well adjusted?
And around this time, then it kind of jumps over to like the Sebastian Stan, you know, the sheriff plot, and like this thing is real unnecessary. I think the
sheriff stuff I thought was the weakest part,
and yet. Like, some of the scenes I enjoyed the most, which is the weird thing. Like, you know what I mean?
Can't believe that was Bucky the whole time.
Yeah, big fat Bucky.
Wow. Yeah, he was. He didn't look like him.
Though. But they did something to his mouth as well. Their hair,
he looked considerably. He looked like he'd gained, like, 50 pounds.
And I will say, because I was like, geez, he put on the weight and took it off in between roles. Because, like, it kind of looked like the gut I would have now, but he wore like tighter clothes, so like he wore really tight shirts to like accentuate the gut.
He's trying to like zip up his jacket in one scene.
You know? And that, like that whole thing of he keeps going on about the election, how he's never shut up about the fucking elections, but that, the fact that like he's under the thumb of this guy, like that wasn't fleshed out enough for me.
Yeah, that was kind of left a few threads, should we say.
But there was something, like the guy who plays, let me get his name, Leroy, right?
Yeah.
Like he's been in a couple of things that I think he's good.
Leroy is the one of the two goons.
He's the guy, remember he was like, he spat on the money.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like the mob boss or whatever. Like,
yeah.
He's English.
Another one.
He's English, but like he always seems to play American. Like anytime I've seen him, he's playing American. And he's like, there was one thing I saw him in where it was like, he's playing like a Jewish New Yorker and it was fucking awful. Like, really? And we talk like this. Excuse me, madam. You know, and I was like, oh, this guy is really bad. But I've seen him in stuff like in Black Mirror, where he gets the tone. Like he played an American in Black Mirror in one of the Black Mirror episodes, and like, he got the. He wasn't too hammy. He kind of seemed natural enough.
Yeah,
he's veering more towards the ham side of things in this I thought I don't know how he keeps getting cast as American.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills here.
This guy again,
aren't you all seeing this? It's the same voice
over and over again. But the whole thing, like, so he finds some of the pictures,
so
he kind of knows something is going on. His sister is Riley Keough, who I think she can be really fucking good.
Yeah, she was pretty good in this.
She's pretty good.
She didn't have a lot to do.
I kind of like her when she gets to act a bit more wilder, and I thought she was going to be like the real, like, I don't know if you ever saw, like, Natural Born Killers.
I have, like, not.
It's Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis, and they're both kind of crazy. And I was like, I wanted her to be, like, the wilder one, whereas by the end she's just kind of like, oh, I'm kind of sad and I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, she didn't want to keep doing it anymore, so it's like, especially when they cry and scream and all this sort of stuff. Like, but I did, like, you know, not to jump around too much, but at the start when they picked up the first guy, they're all super smiley and, like, you know, there's a lot of color I noticed, like, in the car and all this. And then when they finally picked up Tom Holland in the end, when he joined that little plot line, they're just so, like, clearly there's something afoot here. Like,
well,
she looks a lot worse. He's not smiling. She's smoking. It's all dark.
Yeah, they like, kind of imply
their
that
shtick is a bit darker now.
They kind of imply, and it's also, like, less effort. You know what I mean? They kind of imply that she's whoring for your man Leroy.
Yeah,
that's kind of what is being said. And that's why kind of Bucky decides he wants to get out from under his thumb because of the election and stuff like that. Like,
what did you think of the scene where Bucky kills those
guys? I fucking thought it was great. Scene where he goes in and takes the gun and, like, wraps the, like, that's what I mean. Like, I kind of like there's a couple of the scenes with Bucky that I'm like, were my favorite scenes in it, but his character was like you say, he's just kind of hanging on to stories here, like, you know. Like, the scene where he shoots him in the kitchen and your man upstairs, I thought it was so well done. Like,
brilliant. Very real.
Very real, because he shoots him and then, like, just
catches him straight away.
Yeah, lowers him down so your man doesn't hear everything.
That was brilliant.
I did like the scene with the couple. So the guy they pick up just before Tom Holland.
Oh, yeah. That poor bastard.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, that was
how is he not sensing, like, this is weird.
And, like...
But...
Like, what about thanks for having me for lunch, and then, like, you know, and I, like, they cut back to, because, like, you just get the sense of, like, oh, he's dead, you know, because they're in the car the next thing, you know, and they cut back to it, like, like, where your man is, like, pinned on top of him, covered in blood,
his dick cut off, he's like, you know, like,
but
you're just sitting on him taking pictures of him, like, screaming.
I do appreciate that they show you a little bit of it, like, in terms of, like, I'm not saying I have to see everyone, but they hadn't really shown yet. They showed you, like, they shot the preacher guy when they weren't very good at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like,
but that's I think what you know, good horrors do a lot, in that they just show you a little
enough,
bit,
yeah,
and then you're like, your mind goes to, like, what were they doing? What else were they doing? Or who else? You know, like. But, like, the more you show me, almost, with these sort of shocking, like, horror scenes or, like, gory scenes, whatever, like, if you just give me a little bit of it, my mind will make it way worse in my head than your filmmaking could probably do. You know, I mean, give or take the director, I'm sure, but you know what I mean?
If it's done tastefully or artfully, like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
what did you think? Can I ask you, what did you think of the scene with Tom Holland and Orpats in the church?
That was really good. Like, I thought it was, like, just even the whole thing, like,
he kills him, basically.
Yeah, and he, like, has the gun trained on him, and I was like, I was actually wheeling in my head, like, no, get closer, like, you're gonna miss.
I was like, shoot him,
shoot him.
Yeah,
but, like, I was like, get closer, because you're gonna miss, and then he sits down and he does the whole spiel.
Loved it.
And I loved how realistic it was when, like, he shot him, he'd never used that gun before. There's, like, a big kickback. He just about hits him, like, knocks Rob Pattinson over the pew.
Yeah.
And then, like, he shoots him two more times or whatever like that. Like,
so many. Like, it was around this time. I mean, like, I was glad that he killed him.
But they really, like, were racking up.
They were racking up the bodies at this stage. I'm like, okay. Like, it's starting to feel a bit unrealistic.
Yeah.
You know?
Or a bit, like... not unrealistic, because I guess,
I mean, just when,
obligatory, I mean, within, almost, it felt like, you know,
okay, yeah,
you know,
and then, like,
this
should have
been
there.
Called No One Gets Out Alive.
Didn't you say that?
Yes, they all should be gone.
But the whole thing then after that, so the kind of like the final
stretch
is like he gets in the car then with the hitchhikers, and like, because he's shrewd, because he's Tom Holland, so he knows something's afoot.
His Peter Tingle is going off.
Exactly. So then, long story short, he kills the two of them.
That was great. Great.
Great scene. And why does she, like, she wanted him dead anyway. Why, like, just put the gun down? He's, like, how many times did Tom Holland in this movie have to be like,
I don't
want to
kill
you. I don't want to do this. And like, oh, sorry. Like, so I was like, oh, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, like, yeah, but she was, like, she's a damaged person, I guess. And yeah. Like, you know.
She was not thinking straight.
Yeah. And
it's a shame.
Yeah, it is. But also she, you know, was getting off on this for a long time, so she's not a good person.
She's no angel. Yeah, I liked the whole thing, sorry, of like when he leaves that scene and he's gone back to his hometown.
Yeah.
To, I guess, finally bury his dog.
I think...
I don't know if he went there for that, but
no,
it
kind of said like he was going to like something, settle things with his dad. I assume he was going back to the house to have a look at stuff, whatever. And then he, you know, did the dog. But like the whole thing with when Bucky shows up to get him, essentially, and like him with the shotgun. And I don't know why. I thought it was fucking deadly when he like shot the bird.
Oh yeah.
And he was like, sorry. He's like, that bird just scared me. And I was like, wow. Whatever way he delivered that line and the look on his face, I was like, I was like, wow, that's fucking great. Like, that was such a good reading. And like, because
you wouldn't really get a line like that in a movie normally.
And he gave off this like weird nervous energy, like, oh, I am really nervous that I'm coming here to kill a kid. You know, like, and
he's scared me.
And he's kind of like laughing to himself, like, And you get.
But again, Tom Holland's like, I don't want to do this.
And he's smart. He kind of puts his clothes down and like hides under a tree or whatever.
Yeah.
Is calling out to him to draw him near, and he ends up shooting him in the gut. And like, it was good. You know, we've talked about this before on the show, like good dying acting.
Yeah.
Good getting shot acting by Sebastian Stan. Like, just the whole like shot in the gut and then like stagger back.
Yeah.
And like,
I feel like all the deaths, to be honest, were very well done. Even the ones that didn't require much. I felt like everyone kind of died well in this. I can't think of one where I'm like, you know?
Yeah, there wasn't really anything that looked crappy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it all looked good. So you kind of get to the end where it's Arvin is hitchhiking away from that, and he's going to go to Cincinnati with this guy. And I was like, I hope thankfully it didn't, but I was like, I hope the movie doesn't do it where it's like, now this guy killed Tom Holland.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, I know.
Now, you don't know, I guess, but it kind of fades to black with him thinking maybe he got
you just don't trust anybody.
You just don't trust this movie. That's the thing. Because like, you know? It's kind of like you're verging on misery porn territory. Like, you know,
how much worse could it get?
Life was tough back then.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, my final note here is just... brilliant movie that was. Loads going on. Now, in all caps, now you're giving it to me.
Wow, okay. Well, look, I'm glad you liked it. Like,
I did. I liked it.
I'm so surprised.
And both of us loved it. And I very rarely hear Kerry say that she loved a movie that wasn't a post-apocalyptic or horror or, you know, something like that. So, yes, excellent.
I was expecting another... How do you keep getting away with it? You can't keep getting away with it, Terry. I'm very happy now to hear that. I must say. Where would you have it in your rankings?
I think, Terry, that I would have it right in, fresh in, this week at number one.
Yeah, this is a Thor Ragnarok of this series.
The Devil All the Time, Five Bloods, His House, Forgotten Battle. That they're my top four.
Wow.
What about you? I'm very interested to hear where you would rank this.
I'm going to put this... I'm going to give it a 7.5, 7.5.
Okay.
So it goes Mank, then it goes Roma, then it goes the Five Bloods and his uh-huh. house, joint uh-huh. third. Then it was the Forgotten Battle.
Yeah.
And then this. No, okay. You know what? I'm going to swap them around. This is probably a bit better than the Forgotten Battle.
Okay. So this is your number five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Forgotten Battle is six.
Now, out of your top five, four of them are yours, Terry.
Coincidence?
Out of my top five...
one of them is mine? Two of them.
Three of them are mine. Two are yours.
Okay.
I mean, well, yours are the top two.
There you go. So, well, there it is.
Well,
there it is.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Oh, well, Terry.
You know what? This is what I want from the show. This is what I want us to be. I want us to be enjoying them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I just want you to get on fucking board, all right?
Just don't give me shite then. Give me more of this. Give me more of this sort of stuff.
It's weird, uneven movies.
Give me movies now that you think are uneven. Here's how we should work this. You know, like, if you think a movie was fucking deadly, that isn't like obviously deadly, like Goodfellas or, you know, something like that, some obscure movie, I want the ones that you think are okay or uneven. I want your 70% movies.
Interesting.
They'll be my 85%.
Logically, I was like, well, that's a 30%. If I think it's only okay, can't well be like, there stinks.
No. If you think it's okay... If you think it's got some problems with it, chances are I won't pick up on those problems.
Okay.
You know?
Interesting.
But anyway.
So what we'll do we play that? What have we got next week?
Next
down week, to our last four.
Four to go?
Yeah, final four.
Then what, Terry?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
All right, let me see. Jeez, I can't believe I have to
I'll
do
tell
this.
You when we finish this one. I want to get you. Surprise, that Ryan Gosling clip was gold. It's gold, Andy.
Okay. Well, the next one is There's Someone Inside Your House.
Ooh, now, I can definitely get on board with one of these kind of home invasion teen thrillers, it sounds like.
Yeah, let me have a look here again. I can't really remember.
I remember
American slasher film.
Hello. I remember when it dropped, it having a bit of fanfare around it, like being like,
oh yeah?
It's a throwback to like Scream type or whatever. Like, I mean...
Oh, sounds like a fun movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, nothing
Rotten compares. Tomatoes, Metacritic and IMDb don't seem to think so, but what do they know?
Great. Great. Well,
so, they're saying.
Those could sometimes be... little yeah, hidden gems like that
could be,
like,
could be fun.
Yeah,
I would highly recommend if you've listened all this way, you know exactly what happens, but highly recommend this movie. Yeah, it's my number one.
Great.
We got our plugs in.
Yeah, plug it up.
You can find us on Twitter, What's So Great About Pod. You can find us on Instagram. No, you can find us at Twitter at WSGA Pod. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod. You have links on our Instagram to everything we do. You'll find our latest episodes there, some video podcasts, some Patreon freebies, and a link to said Patreon.
The Patreon, you say?
Yes, the Patreon.
Well, Andy, for the low fee of $5 a month, $4.50 in euros, and we don't know what it is in sterlings.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
Well, you get access to a veritable bevy of bonus content. Now, you get all our back catalogues of the What's So Great About podcast, for our Marvel miniseries, our 90s action miniseries, our Ryan Gosling miniseries, our Big Willy Flops, that's aka Will Smith's
bad movies.
Yeah, just, you know, every time. But they also get to our bonus content that we've been accumulating, racking up for the past, what?
2 years?
Is it two? Jesus.
More?
Where basically we've done a bunch of top fives, you know, we've made each other playlists, and like Andy's made me an emotional playlist, emo that is. I made him like a playlist from like original songs from movies. We've done stuff.
I was going to say, sorry to interrupt, I know this is your bit, but nope. The fun is in those top fives is in trying to force our musical tastes on the other person. So I've made Terry two emo playlists. He's made me a Divine Comedy one, try and get me into them.
That was good.
Heavy metal, hair metal, rap, needle drops in movies, top five acting performances, top five number ones, album number ones, load of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, all good stuff there.
Oh, like, and there is, like, at the moment, we're kind of moving away, because we have so many, we 4 episodes a month to fill, we're going to be trying some different stuff. We put a few commentaries up there. We're going to try and get some film reads with our lovely patrons.
We should get cracking on that.
Logistically got to work that out. This week, it's going to be our, this is going to be a fun one, our top five number one singles of our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there was a that was fun to investigate. Yeah. Let me tell you.
I still don't even know if I've got my set top five.
I've got a fucking list here that, like,
plenty of honorable mentions.
Changing every minute. But if you can't afford to back us on the Patreon, that's fine. Whatever, you know.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not fine, but you know, whatever. But you know what you can do for me? If you're not going to give me money, you can give me a rating or review. Now, Andy, we talked about earlier on, the body count in this movie was 13. Okay. You add 1 and 3 together, that gives you 4. But I don't want a 4-star review. I want a 5-star review.
Yes. Hey,
Apple Podcasts, or, like we talked about last week, Spotify. That would get us on the Spotify, you know.
Yeah. You know, I want to see us on more of people's top most listened to podcast of 2022.
I'm not trying to control you. I'm not going to tell you what to listen to us on. But you know what? Build a presence on Spotify.
Listen to us on Spotify.
Yeah. Look, if we ever want to get bought out by those schmucks, if everybody would just listen to us on Spotify, you know, it would be a lot easier for us.
But even if you don't do any of that and you're just enjoying the podcast, how dare you?
You got some attitude, mister.
But thank you. Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, absolutely. At least we're not talking to just me and Andy, you know?
Yeah, if we as fun as this is.
Yeah, as fun as it is.
It's nice to have people listening.
Yeah, some little community out there.
Look, on that note, Terry, I'm going to sign us off.
And what are you going to say?
People at home. Look, if you make me say it, it'll feel like Bart, like, I love you, Edna Krabappel.
Yeah!
I was going to say it.
That's funny, Andy. That's funny.
Yeah, big L from me, folks.
And you get the big L from me if you pay me. I'm a whore.
He's like this all the time.
Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Jesus for his cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by your Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside these garments that are stained with sin
and be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean.
Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.